Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. As an undercover FBI agent, Joe Pistone was able to infiltrate the American mob so convincingly, both the feds and mafiosos still express admiration for his work today, more than three decades after his descent into the Bonanno family, as an up-and-coming hood named Donnie Brasco.
He broke the mystique that you couldn't infiltrate the mafia. That mystique was very, very important in getting people to cooperate, because now all of a sudden it isn't this impregnable organization that nobody's ever penetrated.
Originally targeted for a six-month investigation, Pistone wound up spending 6 years in his new identity as a jewel thief beginning in 1975. Traces of his old life were erased as he won the confidence of his new mob bosses. As Brasco, Pistone was so trusted, he was about to be made before the FBI finally ended the operation, an operation that has been the subject of several books and the acclaimed 1997 film Donnie Brasco with Johnny Depp and Al Pacino.
They scam all these other people, they didn't scam us. You know what I'm saying? We went, we had a great party, we walked away from it.
How do you know that we walked away from it?
Well, we're sitting here, right? So they tried to outsmart us, but we outsmarted them. We beat the agents.
Operation Donnie Brasco led to 200 convictions and put Pistone's life in danger. It also led the mob to tighten its ranks. Joe Pistone's story is part of a new National Geographic Channel series called Inside the American Mob, premiering Sunday at 9, and it's a pleasure to welcome Joe Pistone to the Roundtable. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Joe, what familiarity did you have with the mob before you joined the undercover operation?
I grew up in a town that had mafia members. I went to school with a couple individuals that their fathers were members of the mafia. So coming from an Italian family, you have a working knowledge. When I say work, you have a knowledge of what and who the mafia is.
And what led you into the direction of law enforcement rather than getting into crime? I mean, what was it that attracted you to the FBI in the first place?
Basically, staying straight comes from my family upbringing, my mother and father. But I always was attracted to law enforcement, even as a kid growing up. Criminal activities never intrigued me, so it basically was my upbringing.
When you were about to go undercover, what kind of research did you have to do? Or I don't even know if it's research, but I imagine it was something like getting into a role. How did you prepare yourself for that?
Well, what you basically have to do is, if you ever read the book, The Art of War, you have to know your enemy. And you have to know all facets and aspects of your enemy. And that's how you prepare yourself and you prepare your legend, who you are, according to your enemy and who they are.
In the episode of the show that focuses on this particular operation, people just talk about how far you advanced the FBI's ability to know what was going on with the mob. You were sort of the first person to get that close. Why do you think that had not happened until you were able to get that close?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with circumstances. I think a lot of it had to do with whoever was trying to infiltrate didn't study their opponent, didn't study the enemy, and didn't know about the inner workings of the mob. You have to know if they have any rules, regulations, and that's how you conduct yourself. That's how you formulate your conversations. And I think that basically that's what it comes down to is the prior individuals didn't know their enemy.
When did you feel that you were really in?
Basically, after about 7 months, 8 months, when, the mafia is very, very tight-knit group. They don't take to outsiders. So I think the first time I knew I was in when I was invited to illegal gambling after-hours games, and then being invited to a social club by one of the individuals of the Colombo crime family, and being able to go into the social club and interact with the other guys in the social club.
People in the mob have talked about how they have always lived with a certain amount of fear or acceptance that going into a meeting, you could be shot at that meeting. It's always possible that someone has marked you. How were you able to operate for 6 years in that kind of environment where that's always a possibility?
Well, it's very, and I don't say this as bravado, but, you know, there's very few individuals that can do the deep cover. You just have to have that type of personality and that type of mental toughness. And, you know, you can't dwell on it. And you have to have, like I say, you have to have that personality to be able to blend in and know that you can do the job.
Was there anything you liked about the work while you were this person, Donnie Brasco?
I liked the idea of working undercover only because it was it was another method of conducting investigations. I'm not a bar guy, so you know, I wasn't that enthused about hanging out in bars, but I liked the idea that I was able to infiltrate and become so well trusted that they were going to actually make me induct me into the Bonanno crime family, and that I was doing a good job and doing something that nobody else had done prior.
For those people who maybe haven't read the book or seen the movie, tell us how exactly it came to a close, because it all happened very quick at the end.
Yes, the way the operation ended, I had actually infiltrated the Colombos and I was with the Bonannos and had done deals with the Chicago and Milwaukee family and Santo Trafficante, the boss of Florida. And what happened was there was friction within the Bonanno family. I was with under a capo by name of Sonny Black Napolitano. And his allegiance was to the boss by name of Rusty Rastelli, who was actually in jail. And there were three other capos in the family that were against Rastelli being the boss. And so there was a rift going on for take over the family. And the individual I was with, Sonny Black Napolitano, and another top capo by name of Joey Messina, who ultimately became the boss of the family, murdered the other three captains. And this actually led to a war within the family. So since I was with Sonny Black, I was targeted by the opposition to get killed. And now that there was a shooting war going on, we couldn't continue the operation for the fear that I would know who was going to get killed. And plus the fact I had a contract, Sonny Black gave me a contract to kill an individual by the name of Bruno in Delicato, who was scheduled to get killed with the other three captains, but he failed to show up for the meet. So I couldn't, you know, actually carry out a contract to kill somebody.
And the FBI, I mean, they say they would not have let you carry that out. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then, okay, so now the cover's blown, the operation's over, the word gets around that you were not who you said you were for a long time, and people believed you to be. When you got back into civilian life, I have to imagine a lot of people were looking for you, of course. What was that transition like?
Well, it wasn't really that difficult, and the reason being is that once we closed up the operation, I just left. I went to Washington, and I start working with the Southern District of New York, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and all the other districts that we had cases in. So I basically was still connected to the case by dealing with U.S. attorneys that were going to prosecute the cases, grand juries that we would present the evidence to, and then eventually the trials.
But on a personal basis, how did being extricated from that situation affect you?
My only complaint or beef was that I wanted the FBI to let me get inducted, become a made guy, because I had been there 6 years, and my thinking was, look, you know, it's bad enough that they had an FBI agent undercover for all these years. Can you imagine what it'll do to them when it's found out that they actually inducted an FBI agent into the family? But I couldn't sway headquarters to go along with that thinking. And, you know, it didn't really have any effect on me personally. I mean, I was glad to be out. I was glad to be, you know, have closer contact with my family. But the main thing is that, you know, I never changed my personality, so I wasn't trying to go back to somebody that I was prior. And that's the main thing of being a good undercover agent, is that you maintain who you are. You maintain your own personality.
Why do you think there's such fascination with the mafia in this country?
I think there's this fascination with the mafia in this country just because, you know, the everyday guy, you know, he might have an 8-to-5 job, and, you know, he goes home, might have his beer or martini, and then, you know, starts the next day over again. On a weekend, he's, you know, he's cutting the lawn and doing something, and they see television and they see movies and they see mob guys with a lot of money, flashy cars, and no set times to do or do anything. And I think that that's the fascination, that they don't think that these mob guys have any problems. But, you know, they do. They have problems just staying alive every day. And plus, they all have money problems. I think that's basically what it is. It's the media and Hollywood that glorifies it.
Well, we've been speaking with Joe Pistone, also known as Donnie Brasco. His story is part of a new National Geographic Channel series called Inside the American Mob, which premieres Sunday at 9. Joe Pistone, a real pleasure to have you on the show, and thanks for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Now, if I said that this is a friend of ours, that would mean you were a made guy. A capiche?
Yeah, friend of mine, friend of ours. Yeah. What do I call you, friend of ours?
Or... Keep your mouth shut about me. Don't say, hey, Don. Hey. You got a couple of fazoles. I got some things I got to take.
Yeah. What do you want, 100?
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing? Wise guy don't carry his money in a wallet. Hey, wise guy carries money in a roll, like this. See? Bina on the outside. Like that. Come on.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.